Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Those who are true Bible believers know that God fashioned the family after His own wisdom. The very first book of the Bible makes that truth too plain for anyone to doubt. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Genesis 1:26-27. The inspired author of Genesis further affirms, And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a mate suited to him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a mate suited for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her to the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken from the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Genesis 2:18-24. Do you know how important families are to husbands and wives, to children, to churches, and to communities? God knew it was not good that the man should be alone. Genesis 2:18. Because he knew the kind of beings he had created, he knew that most of us would want and need companions. Companions who could love us and whom we can love. Companions with whom we can share our most intimate thoughts and behavior. Companions who will support us and encourage us through periods of distress and discouragement. So God arranged for men and women to leave their parents and to be joined in matrimony. My dear Molly inspired me in my work as a preacher and as a teacher. I hope I was able to help her in her service to God Almighty and to her family. She loved me and stuck by me even when I did and said something that was foolish. Losing her has been a terrible blow to me. I eagerly anticipate our reunion. According to an article in the Dalton, Georgia, Daily Citizen News, February 5, 1976, Dr. Ted Ward, professor of education at Michigan State University, says we are losing an institution that has no effective replacement, the family. Dr. Ward wisely observes, The traditional family, consisting of parents who consider themselves bonded for life and for whom children are a responsibility, is the best teacher of morality. Research has suggested that this kind of unit plays a vital part in teaching moral values. The family is the building block of society, and even one family can make a difference. I see no effective substitute for the family as the center of the moral development for the child. Modern marriages tend to lack permanence and to turn over child-rearing chores to other institutions. Our society is providing more and more elaborate ways to make schools responsible for providing for children's health and nutrition, determining what kind of learning is vital, and defining their goals and values. Page 1. In the book, The Marriage Affair, edited by J. Allen Peterson, Dr. Lewis Evans affirms, Marriage is a nation's business. When a pier juts out into the ocean, it is utterly at the mercy of the individual pilings on which it stands. Strike one piling from beneath it, and the whole structure suffers a shock, and the pier is weakened. Every nation juts out into the social sea, resting on the pilings of the individual homes. Every time a home is destroyed, the whole nation suffers a severe thunder shock. no nation can stand for long with one quarter of its pilings gone or damaged. Page 9. You can tell by the figure one quarter that Dr. Evans wrote the article several years ago. Almost half of all marriages now end in divorce. If a family is so important, and you know it is, how can a state or a community legalize any activity that will destroy individual lives and homes? Why, in the name of common sense, does a state or community allow the manufacture of beverage alcohol, the most deadly and destructive drug in the world? Alcohol kills far more people and destroys more marriages than all the so-called hard drugs combined. If cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine, crack, PCP, LSD, and other illegal drugs killed and crippled as many people as beverage alcohol, the American people would rise up in holy horror and seek to eradicate all those drugs from the face of the earth. But we allow rum, whiskey, beer, vodka, and other alcoholic beverages to proliferate in most American communities. Do we not know what drinking does to individuals and to homes? Or is it that we are so attached to this drug, and alcohol is a drug, a narcotic, that we could care less about the consequences? And what does gambling do to individuals, to homes, and to communities? Anyone who does not know shows abominable ignorance. But the vast majority of Americans do know. They apparently could care less about the homes in our nation. If they cared about people, especially our young people, and homes, they would never have legalized gambling, and they would not entice people to throw their money away by betting on the lottery. Lottery has been legalized just a few days in our state, and already thousands and thousands of Tennesseans have wasted millions of dollars. I heard of one man who spent $500 on the lottery and won a handsome return, $75. If I know much about financial matters, and I am a former businessman, that is an easy way to get rich, that is, spend $500 and get $75 in return. That person ought to be able to retire to Florida by the end of the year. He would have profited more if he had thrown his money in a hole in the ground. About 20 years ago, State Senator Steve Cohen of Memphis began to work to legalize the lottery in Tennessee. He was not successful for almost 20 years, but eventually the forces of evil won the day, and we are now burdened with a state lottery. Have you ever noticed how many people who support the legalization of beverage alcohol or gambling or some other evil never seem to give up in their fight to win? The people who oppose these evils often give up and do not fight as vigorously as the forces of evil. That has occurred in reference to abortion, beverage alcohol, and gambling. Did you know that Jesus had somewhat to say on that topic? The children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Luke 16:8. My Molly and I moved to Fayetteville in 1993. We were impressed with the quality of life in this city. Not long after we moved to Fayetteville, we were involved in a fight to prevent various businesses from selling liquor by the drink. We won, but I knew we would have to fight again. Some of those who fought the liquor crowd the first time apparently became discouraged and dropped out of the fight. The liquor crowd did not give up. They just kept on fighting until they had their way. They knew that the sales of liquor would pollute our community, kill our children and young people, and destroy some homes. But they do not seem to care about such trivial matters. What did the preachers in Fayetteville have to say about the liquor question? Is it possible they were afraid to speak out because there are members of their churches who are drinkers, or who sell the body-destroying and soul-condemning substance? Do they not know that silence can be sinful? The local newspaper, the Elk Valley Times, January 21, 2004, printed a list of all the businesses in our area that will be selling lottery tickets. Please listen carefully to the list. Petersburg Quick Trip and Taft Grocery have been added to the list of Lincoln County stores selling lottery tickets. The tickets went on sale across Tennessee just after midnight Monday. The first instant games include Tennessee Millionaire, Tennessee Treasures, Lucky Sevens, and the $100,000 jackpot. Our local retailers that have approved applications on file with the state include Ivis Produce, 1627 Huntsville Highway, East End Market, 1430 Winchester Highway, Blimpy by Fast Shell, 3010 Thornton Taylor Parkway, Bypass No. 6, 1640 Huntsville Highway, Log Cabin Market, 2844 Huntsville Highway, State Line Conoco, 3353 Huntsville Highway, Shell Gas Station, 314 Main Street, South Lincoln Food Mart, 3249 Huntsville Highway, T-Ball's Market and Grill, 509 Hedgemont, Altmeyer's Grocery, 3004 Huntsville Highway, and Favorite Market, No. 14, Huntsville Highway. Since moving to Fayetteville in 1993, I have spent thousands of dollars at some of the businesses I have just mentioned. I have bought gas from all the Shell stations listed, but I have no intention of spending one penny with any of the places that sell lottery tickets. They could probably care less, since they will make much more from their sleazy business than they made from my trade. I have already sought out other businesses that will not stoop to such destructive and evil businesses. In addition, I will use whatever influence I have as a preacher and as a Christian to keep others from supporting gambling. How can those who claim to be Christians support businesses that destroy families, lead thousands into poverty and crime, and take money from people who cannot afford to lose it? I'm aware that some in my audience may think I am overly excited about the harm gambling does to individuals and to homes. If you have never made a thorough study of the effects of gambling, you may be surprised at the evil perpetrated on the poor, the uneducated, and the undereducated. The sad truth is, there are multiplied thousands of Americans who have lost their businesses, their families, their self-respect, and even their lives because of their devotion to gambling. I have time in this study today to give you just one example. The National Coalition Against Legalized Gambling has published a paper with the title, A Good Season Record, But the Battle Rages On. The article tells what happened to David Williams. David Knopfsinger, an Indiana attorney, at a national conference of the National Coalition Against Legalized Gambling, told what happened to David Williams. I quote from the article. Williams, explained the attorney, was an auditor for the state of Indiana. He was a model citizen, so frugal and conservative that he clipped coupons to buy toothpaste. His home mortgage was paid off, and he had a net worth of about $175,000, which he had accomplished on an annual salary of $42,000. Then came an advertisement with a free $20 gift card to the new Astar Riverboat Casino. David went to the riverboat and lost his $20, but he soon returned and lost $800 of his own money. It was downhill from there on, Knopfsinger said. It takes longer for most people to become addicted. One might have to wait 3 or 4 years for trouble to arise, but David's anguish came up quickly. In March of 1997, Knopfsinger related, David lost more than his entire year's wages. His girlfriend was worried and told Astar what they were doing to her friend. In March of 1999, he lost $44,000 in 2 days. Armed with a suicide note he had written, David's girlfriend had him committed for psychiatric treatment and sent Astar a certified letter including his financial records and the suicide note as proof of what they were doing to this good man. While David was locked up, the casino banned him until he could prove that he was well enough to gamble again. But within a year, he was back on the mailing list, using his fun card and deepening his addiction until he lost everything, including his home. Knopfsinger says Williams stands apart from other cases where addicts have sued casinos. This time, there is absolute proof the casino knew what they were doing and to whom. They always know, Notzinger said. They keep track of everything their customers do, how long they stay, at what machines, and how much they lose. It's part of their marketing plan. They took everything David Williams owned, including his self-control. They created an addict. They knew it. They banked on it. Pages 1 and 2. A few comments on this story are in order. David Williams should have avoided the so-called free $20 gift card like one would avoid a rattlesnake. He appears to have been a relatively intelligent person. He had to know what the casino was trying to do. They were alluring and deceiving him into believing he would profit by visiting casino and playing the various games that were available. He went to the casino with his eyes open, or at least they should have been open. The casino was not interested in his making money. They were concerned about their own welfare. That is equally true of those who sell lottery tickets. They could care less about your well-being. If they make money, you do not count, whatever they tell you. If you go on welfare, they will not come to help you. You could starve so far as they are concerned. They will just appeal to some other sucker. When David Williams' girlfriend contacted Astar about his gambling addiction, did she not know that those who operate casinos and sell lottery tickets are companions of thieves? Did she honestly believe the people who operate Astar cared about David Williams or about her? They will bleed their customers so long as the customers have any blood left. Did you notice in my reading from the paper that David Williams had written a suicide note? A note the girlfriend sent to Astar to show what was happening to Williams. I'm not telling you that those who operate casinos or sell lottery tickets have no concern about gamblers who take their own lives. But I will tell you this. I have serious doubts that 1,000 suicides would radically alter the behavior of those who promote gambling. Do you honestly believe Rebecca Paul, the director of Tennessee Lottery, would quit lying and deceiving people if she knew some lottery players had killed themselves? If she were to suddenly discover a conscience, how would she continue to receive $750,000 per year for her immoral behavior? There was a very perceptive letter to the editor of the Tennessean, Friday, January the 23rd, 2004. The article was entitled, "New Lottery Makes Fleecing People Legal." The letter writer said the legalization of lottery in Tennessee reminded him of the moral of one of Aesop's fables, "A fool and his money are soon parted." He comments, "Lottery officials are feeding this frenzy, no doubt, by reporting that already there have been a few winners, 20 winning $1,000, 2 winning $7,000, and 1 $5,000. All that fabulous amount of money out of 10,800,000 collected." Page 14A. What a way to become a member of the Millionaires Club. "Bill Gates, move over. Some of our Tennessee lottery players will make you appear to be a pauper." The letter writer concludes his article with these observations. "But the most absurd justification is that fleecing people, however legal, is an honorable way to fund higher education. The irony is that if we actually raise the per capita level of educated individuals as a result of the lottery, the collective IQ of our citizens will be raised sufficiently to abolish it as immoral vice that preys on the very ignorant it now exploits." Page 14A. On the same day the letter I just mentioned appeared in the Tennessean, the staff wrote an editorial with the title, "Lottery's Big Winners." The editorial writers mentioned the fact that some people won a few dollars. Then they commented, "The true winners, however, will be Tennessee students. Thanks to Tennessee Lottery Corporation, which speeded up the process, the scratch-off part of the lottery opened 3 weeks earlier than scheduled. In the meantime, all Tennesseans are winners in a chance to give their students a better chance at a full education." Page 14A. "Will the lottery help some of our young people in the state of Tennessee? I have no doubt it will. But are we ever justified in doing evil that good may come? If our college students will be the lottery's big winners, who will be the lottery's big losers?" Does anyone care about the losers? Let me tell you who should care. The mothers and fathers who want their children to believe that hard work, not a game of chance, is the way to prosper will be the losers. Many of our children will believe they can become rich by gambling. Any of them will become addicted to gambling. Anyone who denies that fact is either ignorant or mean or both. Our young people will be the losers, even though some of them will receive scholarship from gambling. When they have benefited from the lottery, will they not be more likely to gamble when they start making money on their own? How many of them will examine the damage gambling does to the home and to the community and then oppose it? They will probably feel that they would be biting the hand that fed them. We are rearing a generation without moral values. Everyone ought to know that taking money without giving a value in return is immoral. Always immoral. It would be illegal under other circumstances, and somebody would go to jail. I have a question for those who sell lottery tickets in their places of business. Does it matter to you that what you're doing will hurt marriages, children, and the community? I would suspect that most of you are family men and women. How can you look the members of your family in the face and work diligently to injure other families? Does money mean that much to you? When I think of the evil of gambling, I'm reminded of Paul's letter to a young preacher. They who will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. There is nothing wrong with working hard to provide for your family. In fact, a man who does not take care of his family has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy 5, 8. But do you have to ruin other people and families to take care of your own? But just think of all the young people who will profit from the lottery. That is pure stupidity. Those who promote the lottery, like Senator Cohen and Rebecca Paul, and those who sell lottery tickets are simply greedy. And did you know that the Bible calls people who are greedy or covetous idol worshippers? Colossians 3, 5. How do you think God would judge those who destroy families and worship idols? I must make two appeals before our time expires today. I urge the preachers in my audience, that is, those who have not already turned me off because of their support for the lottery, to use every opportunity to condemn gambling. If you are a diligent Bible student and a student of human conduct, you know what I have said today is true. You almost certainly have had to counsel people whose lives and families have been adversely affected by gambling. Are you going to sit on the fence and not oppose what you know is wrong? Or will you remain silent because there are members of the congregation where you preach who sell lottery tickets or who buy them? Preachers and other religious leaders have enormous responsibilities for the people whom they lead. In the days of the great Old Testament prophet Isaiah, the leaders in the nation loved gifts and ran after bribes. Did you know that Isaiah called them companions of thieves? Isaiah 1:23. The leaders in American churches who remain silent when they ought to speak out are also companions of thieves. Will the money you make close your mouth to the evils of gambling? That may not be legal bribery, but it is moral bribery. What is God's view of the matter? Or does His view make any difference to you? Of course, there are churches that promote various gambling schemes to make money. Some have bingo nights and some raffle items to make money. If your church engages in gambling, you should be ashamed if you do not speak out against it. Bingo may seem innocent, but it involves the same principle as casino gambling or playing the horses or buying lottery tickets. They are all immoral and damaging to the people involved and contaminating to our communities. All forms of gambling are inexcusably evil and destructive. There is no excuse, not even educating our children, for such activities. My second appeal is to all those who call themselves Christians or others who have high moral values. If you believe gambling is wrong, will you use your influence in our community to let the marketers of lottery tickets know that you cannot endorse such ungodly and destructive behavior? It is not enough to stop trading at stores and filling stations that have chosen to pollute our community by selling lottery tickets. You should tell the owners and operators of those businesses why you cannot cooperate in any activity that will deprive children of food, clothing, and shelter. Businesses that will make addicts of thousands and thousands of people. Businesses that prey on the poor and on young people. If enough people in Fayetteville and in Lincoln County would speak their minds on this great evil, we could make a difference. No, I do not believe we can immediately reverse what our citizens have done by legalizing gambling. But we could at least cause some people to think of the evil they are promoting. Maybe some of our young people would understand how immoral it is to spend their money on gambling. If you watch television and read the newspapers, you might get the impression that the lottery will solve all, or at least, the major part of the state's financial problems. Have the promoters of gambling in our state thought about the amount of money that will have to be spent to deal with the emotional and moral problems associated with gambling? There will be hundreds and hundreds of families that will have to spend thousands of dollars to help themselves and their children. The state, in many cases, will have to furnish counseling for those it has deceived into believing they will get rich by gambling. And how much will have to be spent on prisons? Senator Cohen from Memphis, like all who supported the legalization of gambling, will have to bear some of the responsibility for broken homes and broken lives. The Tennessean quoted Senator Cohen as saying to the opponents of the lottery, "The battle is over." I have news for Senator Cohen and for others who helped to legalize such evil in our state. The battle has just begun. In the words of Yogi Berra, the battle is not over till it's over. And it will not be over until righteous people quit speaking out against this evil. If you have questions or comments about our lesson today, please let me hear from you. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.